Welcome to the Mostly Pirate at Night. Mostly, I am Salem, joined by my co-host Graveyard.
Hello.
This is episode 167. That's 167 of our weekly All Things Horror podcast. So yes, we're entering the month of Salem. We are officially in it. This is the first episode up. So I get to pick all the movies and upset Graveyard with confusing stories, plot lines that go nowhere, and art house slop, which are, I think, your probably least favorite.
Correct.
Of the horror movies, which is good, because you torture me with all this horse shit the rest of the year, so you deserve it. So anyway, so we begin this month with the always fun Tetsuo the Iron Man, and then round it out with its two sequels. Now, to be fair, I've never seen the second sequel, the third one, until now. I'm okay with that. But the first two I had seen. The first one I've seen a bunch of times. I think the second one I've only seen maybe once or twice. But I mean, they're fun, but you know, they're kind of a visual spectacle.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of narrative to describe. So the recaps are going to be fairly short, but I would say if you want to see some crazy stuff, that's not going to take up too much of your time. I think none of these movies even hit the 90-minute mark.
No, not at all.
They're all very short, and they're all very crazy and flashy, and there's, you know, possible like seizures in there somewhere. But
trust me, we'll get to that.
I think they're fun. But anyway, so the first one is Tetsuo the Iron Man, and it's from 1989. Now, it's a black and white film, but there's obviously like, you know, 80s type stuff in it. So it's not like it's trying to be an earlier scene or whatever. I think they were just broke enough where they had to film it in black and white because that's what they
we can't afford color.
Right. I'm just going to kind of give you the story straight out because they do not say it in the movie at all. Like, you kind of understand it towards the end, like what's happening, but not really. So basically what happens is there's a guy who, like, I guess he was involved in a hit and run. Like, him and his girlfriend were driving a car. They hit some guy, and they tried to leave. But the guy was still alive, so they brought the guy to, like, I don't know, the woods somewhere, and threw him and, like, left him to die. And I guess they weirdly got off on it because they, like, boned within visual distance of this guy when he's dying.
Correct.
So the guy ends up living, and then as a punishment to that guy and his girlfriend, the guy like infects with some kind of like disease that slowly turns his body to machinery and metal.
Oh, slowly, unless you're stabbed a lot, then it goes rapidly.
Right. And the girlfriend kind of gets obsessed with like sex, but in like a violent way. There is also another scene with another woman, like, that changes into metal before he does and then chases him around. And then, like, she catches him and then she's gone and he wakes up.
Yep.
I don't know what that was about. I think it was just, like, him coming to terms with him turning into metal or something. Or I don't know. I don't know what happened, but, like, it looked like she was going to kill him and then she disappears, never comes back. And he's not any more metal than he was before. So I don't know. I don't know what that was. Well, but that is definitely another woman.
It's entirely possible the actress couldn't film or didn't want to film anymore, so they just movie, she's gone.
It's possible. So, you know, there's a lot of scenes of, like, him, like, you know, seeing metal things appearing on, like, on his cheek, and there's, like, a resistor that's coming out of his cheek, and, like, you know, every time he goes to touch it, it, like, explodes with blood. Anyway, so he's, like, slowly changing, and he's trying to, like, come to terms with this, and as he gets to the point where he's starting to, like, you know, have, like, metal on the outside of his body and stuff, his girlfriend is, like, trying to get it on with him, and his penis turns into a giant drill.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like literally cutting through fucking tables and walls and shit with it. And the girlfriend, in her like sex mania, eventually decides that she's going to have sex with him anyway, and then dies, as you would expect. So she dies. He, you know, kind of gets upset. And then the guy that he did the hit and run to somehow like injects more metal into his apartment. And then he becomes even more covered in metal. And like the girlfriend's body becomes infected with metal, whatever. It doesn't matter, because after he leaves the apartment, she never comes back. So he becomes like totally covered in metal. So he's still got his penis drill. But now he's like covered in like metal gears and pieces and stuff like that. And this guy, the hit and run guy, makes his appearance known at this point and says like, you know, haha, you hit me and left me to die. Now I'm getting back at you. So then there's like this long, drawn out, weird fight between them. Yes, there is rocket shoes involved. There is weird like camera stuff where it looks like they're like gliding along the ground, but it's very clearly like take one picture, walk forward a step, take one picture, walk forward a step, like that. It's a bizarre kind of look, but it works in the context of the film, I think. But yeah, there's the fight is literally like half of the film. This film is only like an hour long, but like half of the film is this fight between the two of them. And again, it's literally just a fight between the two of them. They're both like mutating in weird metal shit, and then like attacking each other with these new metal like limbs that they're growing and weird goofy shit like that. Anyway, so at the end of this big long fight, they essentially merge into one metal being, and this metal being is now the best thing that has ever happened to both of them. Like they literally say, I feel great. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And then they like turn into this weird like mecha tank with two heads, and they like basically like start the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yes.
So have you seen Tetsuo the Iron Man before?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I've only seen the first one. Just because it was in the 90s, I had a friend that was obsessed with Japanese cinema, and that was something I watched. And this movie comes up on lists for a lot of what the fuck moments that I just watched. Yeah, on a lot, you know, of people's lists.
Yeah, it is that, but it is also like, you know, what they consider one of the founding films of like the cyberpunk era, which is funny because the director, the writer, director, guy who created this whole thing, they've asked him, like, multiple different interviews. They've asked him, oh, are you into cyberpunk? And one time he goes, I don't even know what that is. What are you talking
about? Mm-hmm.
And another interview is like, oh, yeah, I based it on Blade Runner. I based it on, all these naming all these, like, you know, films that came before his that he was obviously, like, knew exactly what cyberpunk was and answered it. So I don't know if that's true or not. So a lot of people put it in the cyberpunk category. I mean, it basically is, but the director himself has not like definitively said yes it is.
Yeah, it's essentially the best way I can describe really this franchise. It's Videodrome but machines parts. Right.
And that was literally the second film. He said like it was inspired by Blade Runner and Videodrome.
Yeah.
Is what he said. And that's I can definitely see that.
Oh, especially their handguns.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, like the weird fleshy gun that he makes is like, well, not so much in this one. I mean, you could tell it's inspired by this one, but it definitely the next
one. Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, which I'd forgotten how much stop motion was actually in these films, especially the first one. There's a lot of stop motion because all the crawling parts, all the wires, all that stuff. And it's, for it being low budget, pretty good.
No, it is. It's like I said, it's a visual spectacle. Like I said, it's only an hour long. You want to see something interesting, watch it. Take an hour of your time and just watch it. You'll be like, I don't know what the fuck I just watched, but it's fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to do your highlights first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, I mean, the score is fun. In
yes.
This movie. Mm-hmm. It's got a really, really cool, like, heavy industrial vibe to it. Again, we're in the late 80s, very, very early 90s here, and that's, you know, what was kind of happening at the time. I think it was like, you know, this movie inspired people, and then the other people inspired the movie, because it's very much kind of tunes into that industrial era. But it's very good. The score for this one is excellent.
Yes.
Just the industrial atmosphere, right? I think the black and white actually does it a big favor by showing you all this, like, metal and industry and pollution and all that kind of stuff in a black and white vision. I think it works a little better. I mean,
it makes it seem more grimy,
right? Yeah, more stark. Yeah, more like, yeah, you know, depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the next two we get to see what this stuff looks like in color, but this one I think has more of an energy, a heart to it.
Yeah.
And then the effects in this movie are brutal and strange, but they're effective and pretty well done for what they are. You can obviously see that it's not like a, you know, fucking Rick Baker or somebody making this shit, obviously, but it's like for being a, you know, the first movie that he's done with, like, a, you know, like basically like a zero budget, they made it work, and it looks pretty cool.
I would not want to be the guy, though, encased in that metal, wearing that stuff.
No,
hot and uncumbersome.
Correct. You'd be okay with the penis drill, though?
Sure.
I would be if it cut through the table like that. That's all I got.
Yeah. As you said, this movie is, it's fucking bizarre, but in, like, kind of the best way possible. Right. It, you know, like when we talked about Mad God, that movie is also bizarre, but in the best way possible. And I think that kind of what makes the charm of Tetsuo, this first one, is that leaning into just like fever dreams and like nightmare fuel. yeah, you said the music is fantastic. I said it's fantastic for pretty much no budget. The body horror is pretty damn good. And I had to laugh because the guy had a lot of cats, and then one of the cats turned into a can. So I said, cat can.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt bad for the poor cat.
I'm like, oh, that poor cat became a can. And it's still meowing. Fantastic. That's all I have there. I will end my low points. The sound effects are cheesy as shit.
Yeah. Again, I have some of them on the low side, because some of them are super fucking annoying. Some of them are fun, but some of them are really annoying. Like the scene where the girl's like licking the fork, and it's like this bizarre like chalk like board scraping noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's weird stuff like that. Stuff that doesn't really fit. That's like it hurts your fucking ears sometimes.
I would say a lot of the fight had really bad sound effects.
Not going to disagree.
It sometimes it's too artsy. I think, I know, I feel like some of it just was padded for runtime that he barely had. But it was just, I think it was just too much at a little bit at a time. And my God, everyone's so sweaty in this movie.
It's hot.
Well, they are like dripping hoses worth of water, buckets worth of water at all times. Like, oh my God. It looks like they just sprayed them with a hose before the shot.
Let's see. If you hang out in like an iron refinery, see how hot you are.
I guarantee that, yes, but it's just so sweaty. And, you know, three cats is too many. Remember, you always add twice as many cats to the ones you see that you don't see.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
They're like cockroaches. You see one and there's a million everywhere.
Well, yeah, because, you know, people are like, oh, you go to a house like three cats. Oh, yeah. These are one of the ones that like people. How many more do you have?
Don't, man. Don't remind me. I've seen one too many Hoarders episodes where they're like, oh, yeah, we have, I don't know how many cats we have, but I know we're missing a few and we can't find them.
Yep,
we
they're
know
dead.
They're dead because we can smell them, but we don't know where they are. It's like, uh-huh. What the fuck is wrong with you?
And then those are the indoor cats. Then these people right. Usually have outdoor cats too.
Right, and then it's like dumping bags of cat food on their patio. Like, yep. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, we had a band of roaming cats in my neighborhood a few years ago, and people kept feeding them. Like, stop. Well, they're hungry. Well, if you didn't put food out, they wouldn't be roaming the neighborhood looking for food. They'd go somewhere else. So stop.
Well, just trap them and fix them, and then let
I know.
Them run around as much as they want.
But they don't. So they just keep populating. Well, that's what I have. What do you got?
I just literally just talked about that metal scraping noise. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dick drill assault is is bizarre because, like, in the beginning of it, he is like, my penis is crazy. It needs to do stuff. And she's like, oh, no, don't do anything to me. And then, like, it weirdly progresses into her, like, literally committing suicide, essentially.
Yep.
By drill penis. It's a bizarre, bizarre thing. Uncomfortable to watch. And debatable, I guess it's good, bad, whatever. I put it on this side because I felt like it should be on this side.
Mm-hmm.
The robot kitty, I felt bad for poor cat. But yeah, like the fight, the final fight is like half of the film.
Yeah.
There's very little leading up to it. It's like literally that's it. Like, okay, this guy's turning into metal. He kills his girlfriend with a drill penis, and then they fight
yep.
for 30 minutes of his 60-minute movie. And again, like I said, yeah, it's confusing at times. I've seen it quite a few times, so like I know what's going on. But I know, like, watching it the first time, people have, like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Again, by the end, they do give you, mm-hmm. the gist of the story. Like, you do understand it, but, like, it takes a while to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
All right.
So, Tetsuo the Iron Man, 1989. What, I'll go first. So, I will give, this week we're doing homemade gun barrels because there's a lot of them and they're obviously all made out of like fucking paper mache or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only real gun is in the first one. He's holding like a toy Uzi or something when they turn to their merge machine.
That there.
Anyway. So I'm going to say I really do like this movie. I think it's fantastic. And it doesn't overstay its welcome. I'm going to give it
8.4. Yeah, I'm going to give it a solid 8. Like I said, it's hard to really describe. We can never fully describe everything that happens to me. So as you said earlier, just you need to watch it just to watch it and see all the craziness and appreciate the low budget that he was able to do in this movie, right? Because you're just going, holy crap, he like scavenged like all dumps for all pieces of metal he could possibly find, and all the foil work and all that stuff. It's just stop motion takes a long time, so go watch it for that.
Well, again, like that's why I say like people with low budget, like, oh, we had a low budget, we had to cut all these things, and that's why the movie looks like shit. Like, there are so many movies that were made with like no budget that are still mm-hmm. great.
Yep.
And I don't get that thinking. It's like everybody's like, oh, we didn't have the money, so it looks like shit. Like, you can do things to make it look better, like, or at least frame it in the right way. And just so many people don't.
Well, and I think people should take a chapter out of Tetsuo. Just make it black and white. Who cares? That way it doesn't matter that blood color doesn't look like great. It doesn't matter. As long as you know it's blood. As long as we're not getting, watery pink foam that we've got in other movies for blood, you're fine. Yeah. Right?
Again, there's tricks and stuff to do it, but again, that's, I don't know, a lot of people just give up, I think.
Yes.
But yes, there are plenty of examples of things that you can do
mm-hmm.
with no budget.
Yep.
Yeah. So you give it an 8. So, Tetsuo 2 Body Hammer came out just a couple years later in 1992. Graveyard, why don't you tell us about that?
Yes. So once again, this is a strong visual movie as well. But there's more of a story to this that you can glean throughout the entire runtime versus kind of like a thing at the end that you don't have to watch multiple times. But essentially, we get that there, you know, we see a guy at the beginning that's able to, like, you know, the finger gun stuff. He literally just has his finger and goes bang and kills a guy. Oh, okay, cool. Now we can generally just shoot things out of us, and that's the entire thing of this movie. But essentially, a man, wife, and their child are, I don't know if I ever got why they're trying to kidnap his child or not, but essentially there's two guys that are...
I guess spoiler for later, but they were trying to kidnap the kid to trigger the dude.
Right.
They don't give a shit about the kid. They were just doing it to fuck with the guy.
Yeah, so I'll say that it's literally a cult that worships metal, and kind of the side plot of this stuff is essentially this guy and his brother witnessed their dad and mom boning, and like they were being made to be like, you know, like Tetsuo the Iron Man by their dad and integrating all this stuff, and the older brother kills his parents and is now kind of running this cult, and that's why they're kind of kidnapped this other guy's kid. It's his brother, his kid, and they're trying to awaken the inner metal of him. So they try to kidnap his kid. They're like, oh, man, oh, we did it. He's safe. He's, you know, fine. And the guy goes, I got to work out. So we have a montage of him trying to work out, clearly trying to do the heaviest weights at once for the first time ever working out. It doesn't work. But eventually we see he gets stronger, and he is able to do more. Eventually his kid is, I believe, killed, right? It's hard to tell by some ending.
Yeah. Eventually he is, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so essentially, yeah. So there, we find out there's a guy who's has a scientist that's, you know, find out a way to put this gene into other people, not just the two brothers that have it, and maybe the dad has it that we saw in the beginning and end of this movie. And he's like, all these people work for me. Like, they have Billy's like giant robot armor that they can just pull out of their ass, essentially.
Now that shit was hilarious to me. Because they put it on, and it's like this big giant suit of armor that they literally like waddle around like penguins. They look like the Manochiwans from Fifth Element. Like literally, they're just like they have the same mobility issues as the Manochiwan from. So I don't know what the fucking. I guess it was like super armor to help them, but like they only got attacked once while wearing it, and they died anyway.
It's the armor that stormtroopers wear, but essentially it's like, hey, let's take the football protection gear and put boxes on it and paint it metal.
Right.
Right. But all that's going on there, and the guy's kind of learning to get his powers, his kids killed. So he kind of goes out essentially for revenge against this cult that killed his kid. And he's just growing, and he, you know, they do end up capturing him. They attach him like a TV to him. And a scientist is there who eventually just gets killed anyway. And they're just trying to release the inner metal man that he is. He escapes, all that stuff. But eventually, yes, it comes back and he just goes on a murderous rampage and starts killing everyone in the cult. And we have many fight scenes between them. All the cultists get their, you know, the metal injected into them. So they're able to do weird shit like that. Eventually, they like get his wife, and he's kind of having a showdown between the two brothers who he eventually kills, and then he essentially then puts in like hoses and metal tubes into all the cultists and kind of like essentially the thing them together.
Well, yeah, but like while this fight is going on, the dude is turning more and more into like a big giant tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like towards the end, he has his wife inject him with the thing that's supposed to like kill him,
like make him rust essentially. Right.
And it yeah. does.
Right.
And then, yeah, and then that's when he connects to everybody and essentially merges with them.
And she rides him, this tank, through the city.
Right. And then there's literally, because, like, when he shoots the dude at the end, he has this, like, giant gun that, like, shoots atomic bombs, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, the end of the film is, like, he merges with all these metal dudes into, like, this big giant tank. Mm-hmm. And then the end of the film is just, like, literally mushroom clouds. Because yep. he, like, is destroying the world.
And everything's so pretty now with him destroying all the stuff. Yep. Metal. Yeah. He went ultimate Megazord from Power Rangers. Yeah. That's the movie. Like I said, more of a plot. still as crazy.
More of a plot, yeah. It's giving you reasons as to why some of this stuff is happening, whereas the original one is just like, what the fuck is going on? Again, it's still kind of nonsensical as to what is really happening and why, but at least, like, you can kind of, you know, navigate through the story.
Yeah, I mean, because let's face it, the first one didn't have a lot of dialogue. This one had a lot of dialogue, so there's more to go on it, you know, and the dream sequences, all that fun stuff. It's good fun. This is my first time watching it. I didn't realize it. I don't know. Maybe it was a decade ago. I realized there's a second one. I had no idea there's a third one.
Yeah, the third one I didn't hear about until just a couple of years ago. I had no idea it existed. The second one, I watched not too long after the first one. I did not watch it in the 80s. I did not have a video store cool enough to have Tetsuo the Iron Man.
No.
So it was years later. I don't know. It was after high school. I'm not exactly sure when I watched it, but I was not young when I watched it. So.
Was it like Suncoast days?
Yeah, I think it was around there. Yeah. I had a friend of mine that turned me on to Tetsuo the Iron Man, and then I think we had both found out there was a second one, and we had to, like, watch.
Yeah.
And then, again, I had no idea there was a third one. The third one came out, like, 20 years later.
Yeah.
So, it's fine.
Yep. So, I'll do my highlights first. I said, I lose terms of more cohesive story. Like I said, I do like that. Like I said, it's still as batshit crazy as the first, except now it's in color. It seems like a good sequel. I find it interesting that they have a scientist trying to figure out, like, what this gene is to then, like, synthesize it to, like, mold it and create. And, like, make experiments on people, which is pretty interesting to have a science-ish aspect of it. Right? As I said, handguns are very, very Videodrome.
Yes.
The Metal Cult was great.
Yeah.
Just think of the Blood Boys from Mad Max Fury Road, but with metal. And he got the cult. And, you know, he couldn't be without the cat teapot.
Well, it has to be a cat mutated.
Guess, but I thought that was a good callback. That's what I have. How about you?
Yeah, so I don't know if the game Syndicate, if they ripped off this movie or if this movie ripped off Syndicate. Because the two dudes in the beginning with the sunglasses and the trench coats, that is, like, the same image that's on the cover of the game, and, like, in the game itself, they look identical to them. So one of them was inspired by the other. I don't know which way that goes, because they were right around the same time. But very, very similar. The scene where they show the metal men working out is awesome.
Yeah.
They're, like bench pressing like car engines. They're like, you know, like bicep curling like tires and stuff. Like,
with a lot of gusto that would hurt them a lot.
It is crazy and it is goofy and great. I thought that scene was fantastic. Again, yeah, there's a more coherent presentation here. It's a little bit more user friendly. You still get all the wackiness of what happened in the first one, but at least you get kind of a little bit of a story to latch onto.
Yeah.
And again, the effects in this one are the practical ones are great, and they're crazy. And again, it feels like you tried to, like, intentionally step it up from the first one. Like the giant tank thing that he becomes at the end is just like a giant, better looking version of the thing that was in the first one. it's goofy, but it's fun and it's well done. Now. On the low side here, again, like you already mentioned, those armor suits, I don't know what they were doing with them, but it's like they basically, these dudes that are like super working out to be super strong, super fast, super everything, and they put these suits on, but basically cancels out all of their strengths that they have, and now they're just like a big, like, you know, ball of metal that's supposed to be armored, but the only one time they're attacked wearing it, they die anyway.
Correct.
It's like, what is the point of this goofy giant suit thing that they're wearing? Again, I already said they look like the Manichewans from Fifth Element, and they literally waddle the same. It's like, I don't know. I don't get it. But it's bizarre. This one, the music is not quite as good. The chase music is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like wacky, like, you know, almost like Keystone Cops level music sometimes. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, how do you go from one to the other? It's only been a couple years. What did you do? And the other thing I will say is there's a lot of, like, body guns. What exactly are they shooting?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Because, like, if they show them, like, you know, consuming, like, massive amounts of food or something to, like, replenish themselves, like, okay. But they're just, like, literally shooting, like, hundreds of bullets. Like, what is that? What are you shooting? Your bones? Your teeth? I mean, like, what? I was sort of trying to figure out, like, you know, okay, I'm looking past the point of, like, a human can't turn into a gun. Whatever. We're past that point.
Yeah.
It's a movie. But I was like, what are you, like, using is bullets? Because they're not real bullets. It's like you're somehow using your body to make bullets. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, it's bizarre. And they kind of, like, tried to explain it in the beginning, like, when the kid, like, took the gun from the dad and then, like, absorbed it. They also showed him absorbing the bullets.
Yes.
But, like, obviously there was, like, six bullets. There's a lot. He shot a lot more than six times. So I don't know. I don't know what that stuff was made out of. But it just had me thinking for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I got.
Yeah. You know, is this a sequel? Is this not a sequel? I have kind of both sides here. It's a spiritual sequel, like I said, but it's pretty much the same cast as the first one for the most part. As the main guys, at least. And the Bullet Man is a true sequel, supposedly, but it just, I don't know. So I felt like pieces of it were Terminator-esque a lot more. Even some of the music I felt like is pretty Terminator-esque. My God, I don't think they capture a piece of audio the person was saying live. I think it's all after the fact.
This one is okay. It's not fantastic.
The first one is worse. The
next one is atrocious. Oh, but
for sure. Yeah.
This one was a little wacky, but
yeah.
Compared to the third one, I didn't even remember that this one had it.
Yeah. And my seizure warnings galore. There is especially a scene that is just like non-stop flashing for like 5-6 minutes straight. It feels like the just like the big scenes at the end with like all the merging of the tubes and the balls and genes and all that stuff. There's a lot to watch at once. I don't get generally nauseous by stuff like that. That was a lot to take in. But that's all I have. I will kind of go first then for number of homemade gun barrels. It's not as good as the first one. It's a good successor. But I would say just drops down to a 7 homemade gun barrels out of 10. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's interesting. It's wild. It's wacky. Yeah, definitely not as good as the first one. I feel like it loses a bit of its heart in this mm-hmm. one. It's a little bit better of a budget. Everything's a little bit better. The obviously it's in color instead of black and white, but I think it loses a little bit of that charm, a little bit of its heart in the process. Still not a bad movie, but I'll do 6.75.
All right, and just take us through Tetsuo the Bullet Man as quickly as possible, so we forget this movie exists.
Yeah, because this wow. So. I guess we'll just skip to the main story here. The main story is we have a guy, right? His dad is some kind of wacky mad scientist who is married to a woman who dies before she can have a child with her wish was to always have a child. So he rebuilds her as a robot and then has a child with the robot. And that child is this guy. So this guy has, because he's half robot, can do the wacky stuff we've seen in the first two movies. He essentially like turns into a robot man and, you know, metal man, and has guns coming out of his body and shoots all over the place. Yeah, so somebody hit and run. I don't know. The dude who made these is obsessed with hit and runs. I don't know. I don't know. Every movie has one. So his kid gets killed in a hit and run attack, you know, like attack. The wife gets obsessed with just like making him hunt down whoever killed the kid.
Yep.
And as he gets angrier and angrier hunting this person down, he becomes more and more metal. And like it basically, like it's a direct correlation between how angry he is versus how metal he is. And he ends up finding out that the guy who ran him over is the guy he did it on purpose, because he's trying to trigger him to become the robot that, you know, he knows he can be. So the guy's like literally doing all this to make him more metal so that he can, like, I don't know, enjoy it, because he wants to be killed by him.
Yes.
Which is bizarre. He like, he wants to be killed by like the perfect organism, I guess. So he's like trying to make him like into like a metal android and then die from it. Yeah. I don't really know what was going on. I was kind of sort of checking in and out of this movie because it's not good.
No.
Spoiler alert. So yeah, essentially we get to the end where there's a long kind of fight scene where the guy's like, oh, I have a bomb attached to your wife. If you don't kill me in a certain amount of time, I'm going to blow up your wife's head. And so they go through all this big, long fucking fight, and they finally fucking kill him, but it's after the time limit, and he drops, like, the remote control button to blow her up, and there's nothing in it. It's just a button with nothing attached to it. And the necklace that supposedly carried a bomb didn't have a bomb in it. It was just the necklace.
Yep.
And then they, like, he learns to control his anger, and he becomes a regular person, and they have another baby.
Yep.
The end.
Pretty much.
I don't think there's anything else I really need to expand on it.
Nope. it's good.
Yeah, that's good enough. I will warn you, I mean, if you really want to complete the Tetsuo trilogy, go ahead, but you can safely skip this one. The second one is weird and not quite as good as the first, but it's still worth a watch for sure. This one, you can skip. It's not great.
Oh no! When I started watching this, I'm just like, oh no! Like the second one was close to 90 minutes. You know, this was like an hour, 11 minutes. I go, this is way too long.
Yeah, right. You don't feel like that the first one. The first one feels like it's short. The second one feels like it's, you know, this is about enough time to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is like, God, it's still going. Just kill him already.
Yeah, and he's, you know, the guy's American.
Yeah, and this movie is in English, which I think makes it worse.
Correct.
Because, we'll get there.
Yeah, spoilers, that's on my list. It's
for sure, it's top of my list.
Yeah.
yeah, we'll get there. So, again, I guess you want me to do my points. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, go on.
Okay, so... the high points are we do get the full story. It's not necessarily a good story, but we get the whole story. Like, there's actually exposition that tells you what's going on and why and how it happened. We actually get, like, flashbacks to show, like, this is what happened. You know, like, we see the android robot mom and everything. Like, this story is, like, totally laid out, which I guess is good. The science project... I don't know. They don't really like tell you what it is, other than it's like, oh, he's making robots. But he didn't really like make a robot until his wife died.
Right.
Anyway, the science project part of it is interesting, but it ultimately makes no sense. Again, the FX are still fun in this. There's still a lot of practical goofy effects. And this is like 2009. So there's a lot of CGI crap happening at this time. And it's, you know, they did a good job with the practical stuff. They stuck with practical for almost all of it. I thought it was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the world didn't end this time. So I don't know if he like matured as a person or a movie maker where you didn't think the world needed to end this time. But yeah, the first two, the world ends in an apocalypse, and this one, they're just happily ever after. So
mm-hmm.
That's an interesting twist, but that's all I got for Heidi.
Yeah. For me, it's pretty damn close to the same story he's been telling in these, which is interestingly said, it's more laid out. And somehow I've yet to figure out how it's a direct sequel to the first one. I don't know.
The first one, I don't know how you can make it a kind of a sequel to the second one. I can see, like, you can say that weird mad scientist dude, like, you can
right.
say the dad was his partner. Like, that would kind of clue it into the first one. I don't understand
yeah.
how that one. Because in order for that to happen, the two people that caused the apocalypse would have to, like, somehow the world would have to rebuild itself after the apocalypse, and then they would have to separate from each other and then become separate entities again.
Sure.
So I don't understand.
Cyberpunk, why not? Cyberpunk, why not?
Yeah.
That's really all I have. I'll roll my low points. It's American. It's in English. It just doesn't feel right at all.
Okay. Yeah.
And poorly done at top of that.
Correct. So it's like, okay, we're going to do it in English. So the main actor speaks English normally, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess they did that. He's not a very good actor, but again, he speaks fluent English, and he's fine. Everyone else in the film, English is probably not even their second language, like their third language.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but when it's every single person, again, I don't think it's fair to the actors if you make them act in not their first language, and you like try to put like heavy emotional hooks on those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have to try to decode through like their thick accent what they're saying. Again, there's nothing wrong with most normal characters, but if you're hooking serious like emotional stuff on these people and you have to like think about what they're saying, I think it takes a lot away.
Yeah.
From it's again, not saying that they're bad actors, they're probably not in their native language. It's just and when they're speaking English, when you can tell it's obviously they don't speak English normally, it is really bad.
Yeah.
And the dad, like the guy's dad, I think like they didn't like his voice and they just dubbed it over with someone else.
Uh-huh.
Because it is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like really bad.
Oh, the ADR is just worse than even fucking Madam Web, yeah, which is amazing.
Like, it literally looks like the guy is speaking a different language, and they're just, like, talking over it. Like, his mm-hmm. lips don't even get close to what's being said.
Not even close. You said that it is still practical effects, which is true. But, like, the Iron Man, this one, looks like garbage. He looks like a, like, reject Power Rangers villain.
Yeah, I didn't say he looked good. I said I respected the fact that
yeah.
they stuck with practical and in 2009. I respected that much. I
and
didn't
yet,
say he looked good.
And yet somehow 20 years later, the practical effects looks like shit.
Right.
Like you had no budget for the first one. I could only assume you had no budget for this one.
There was some. I mean, he had like for real actors in it.
I'm just saying, like, he did more with less before, so yes, I'm correct. Really surprised. That's a huge drop-off. And holy shaky cam, Batman. There is, like, heavy shaky cam, like, for no reason.
A lot of movies, they use the shaky cam to, like, show you, oh, look, crazy stuff is happening. Oh, look, you should be, like, nervous or confused at this point in time, so we're just going to put the shaky cam in here. I hate that.
I really do.
But
like,
a lot of people do it.
I understand. Like, if you have the camera being, being held by a character in the film, I get it. Shaky cam's going to happen. Does not necessarily need to happen when it's supposed to be, like, a stationary camera.
Right.
I just don't like it. Like, you know, people we talk about, like, you know, Cloverfield, people are like, oh, it's such shaky cam. Well, there's supposed to be a guy holding the camera and running. It's going to do that, so it makes sense. But do we need shaky cam in, like, say, Star Trek? Hell no. But we got it sometimes. I just don't think if it fits into what people want it to be, because it's no different than just having, like, 20 cuts in a second, right? It's no different than that, and that's not good either. Yeah, like I said, like this, it just didn't make sense, like, why he looks so bad, and just even the hallway fight scene is so chaotic, and just, like, there's only, like, four people involved in the hallway. They may try to seem like it was more people there, and it really wasn't. And that's with all quick cuts and the shaky cam just kind of ruined it. And let's face it, if this was black and white, we wouldn't see the flaws in his outfit as much, I don't think.
Probably not.
That's what I have. How about you?
Okay, I already talked about the bad English language for everybody. I'll say, like, the acting is atrocious. We've already said that, but there's one particular guy I want to call out as being one of the worst acting performances I've ever seen in my life. And that was, like, the SWAT guy. Holy shit, that was, like, the worst acting I've ever seen. You're like, his lines were like, are you really gonna do that? You're gonna let this guy attack your wife and son and not do anything about it? It was, holy shit, it's bad. It's, like, so bad you have to witness it to, like, to understand how bad it is. But it was, wow, bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know what, I know the guy's Japanese that made the Fumi, but, like, a nuke in Japan, like, that's kind of like bad taste, right? It still feels like it's too soon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess he's Japanese. He has, I guess, more right than I do. But, like, I don't know. I just felt like it bad taste. But, again, that's we're in this movie, so I guess that's where we're at. Now, again, I think the guy has... There's, like, weird obsessions that he has. One is, like, the hit and run.
Yeah.
There's a hit and run in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's obsessed with people, like, merging together and being, like, inside someone else.
Yes.
So he has, like, I don't know, bizarre, weird fetish stuff that he keeps injecting into. It's like, you know, Tarantino with the fucking feet, right? It's like this guy is, like, obsessed with, like, being inside of someone else. And then hitting and running something else.
Oh, man, he would love the movie Together if only he had a hit and run.
Yeah. If only. Oh, that's all.
All right. You want to go first with your homemade gun barrels out of 10 for this one?
Wow, man. I mean, this, I can't give it, like, a super bad score because there are some interesting things here, but the presentation is so fucking bad.
Yep.
It is just so bad. So I'm going to have to, I'm going to do 1.85.
Yeah, it's, I never want to watch this movie again. For sure. This one took me the longest to get through by far of, you know, like stopping and as you said, getting distracted and kind of like, it's hard sometimes to not get distracted or want to go do something else. Like, right. And just like, this movie is so bad. I'm like, I just don't want to watch it. I didn't want to watch it while watching it.
No, I totally agree with you. I was like, I was catching myself like looking at my phone or fucking around. So I'm like, no, stop, watch the movie. But yeah, it's hard to focus. Even when it's like an hour and 10 minutes long and it's that hard to focus, it's gotta be bad.
Yeah. So that all being said, I will go down to a 1.5. homemade gun barrels out of 10. I don't know. I think it'd be better if he does another Tetsuo to go back to really the low budget horror cyberpunk roots of it. You can do still practical effects, make it black and white again. You can still visit that world, just not like this movie.
I think we should have a crossover. I think we should have Tetsuo and then the Billy Idol from the cyberpunk video in the 90s. I don't know if you ever saw that video. But there's also like weird stop motion animation with like wires and tubes connecting to people in that video too. I think they should cross over and become one.
Just get Phil Tippett.
Yeah, he's still around.
Right, he just you know, Mad God came out a couple years ago, and he'd fit right in with that Tetsuo world, and make it look better, honestly.
Well, yeah.
All right, cool. All
right, anything else you want to throw in there?
No, bring us home.
All right, now that we are thoroughly confused, there's only one cure. That's right, more confusion. That's right, we have more head scratching and eyebrow raising as we honor the great David Lynch, who unfortunately passed away this year, with a director's spotlight. We're watching his most horror adjacent films. There's probably at least one in here people would probably argue with me is not technically a horror movie, but I don't care. I'm gonna do what I want anyway. His horror adjacent films, and try not to get lost in the weeds. We're doing Blue Velvet, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, and Lost Highway.
I've watched none of these.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen all of them. The Twin Peaks one, I didn't really like pay that much attention to, because I've tried to get into Twin Peaks so many times because people tell me how great it is, and I've tried watching it like at least three times. That first episode is rough.
It really is, and. Before the new season came out, the wife wanted to watch it. I'm like, you don't even want to watch X-Files. I go, I've seen half of the first season of Twin Peaks. So this is going to be rough for you. Because
yeah, everybody says how great it is and how great it gets. But like, first time I watched the first episode, I'm like, I don't think I can keep going. The second time I watched the first two, and I was like, oh, this is rough. And I, one more time, I got about halfway through the first one, and I'm like, nope. But I have tried. I have no doubts that it does get better. I trust the people who tell me that, but it's just hard getting there. Maybe it was easier back when they were watching it on TV and you had a week between each episode.
I think so. I think Twin Peaks kind of goes with that same syndrome of Lost, where I watched Lost the first time all the way through, all consecutive, because I didn't do the whole Lost week by week or year and a half between episodes. And so maybe it was better to do it in that moment as well, just like Lost.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I like these movies. Twin Peaks, not so much, but I guess it's, you know, the most horror-adjacent one he had. Yeah. Lost Highway is, I think you could pretty much safely put that in the horror category. I think people would argue about Blue Velvet, but I don't care. We're gonna do it anyway.
Yep.
But yeah, I love these movies. You're probably gonna hate them, but that's okay. So we watch bad movies, so you don't have to.
And this has been Graveyard saying, "Have you checked on the children?"
This is Salem saying, "Long live the new flesh."